Welcome to another episode of the FPC Raiders podcast. I'm your host, Terrence Biggs. Last week, we started a mini quarterback draft prospect preview with our profiles on FPC Raiders. Last week, we also decided to start with, not start with, because we had other quarterbacks, but we highlighted Tua Tagovailoa from University of Alabama. This week, we started off with Justin Herbert of Oregon. I want to talk about Herbert for a second because it's kind of intriguing. He kind of makes sense, but he kind of doesn't make sense. He has mobility despite being about 6'6", about 225, 230. He doesn't mind getting outside the pocket. He has a rifle of an arm, but I don't think this is the thing. I don't think he fits into what John Gruden wants per se because he loves to show off that arm and throw it deep. Where Herbert gets into trouble is his accuracy as far as being able to throttle down on the RPMs. If somebody's running a quick slant, you don't need to kill them with the ball. You don't need to break their fingers with the ball. Also, you don't need to throw the ball behind them or too much in front of them. You got to watch the hospital balls because in the NFL, even though the rules are geared towards player safety, you don't want to see a receiver lurch out too far and get caught slipping by a defensive back or a linebacker. With fine tuning, I think Herbert could fit. I really do. But the question is, will John Gruden have the patience to deal with a rookie? You have to kind of gear your entire offense towards and trying to nitpick and take out what you don't like and try to implement what you do like. It's one of those things. Today, we profiled Washington State star Anthony Gordon. Gordon's an interesting one. He was a converted baseball player who didn't start playing football until high school. He has a good arm, not a cannon, and he put up, folks, he put up prodigious numbers in Pullman. Over 5,000 yards, 50 touchdowns. It's one of those things that, yes, he is a product of the air raid offense. Him, or his numbers are. Him, guys like B.J. Simons, Cliff Kingsbury, those type of players put up ridiculous numbers where you need to assess Gordon as far as what you see as far as the mechanics on the field. I think that for a mid-round pick, he wouldn't hurt the Raiders because if they're sold on Carr, why not bring in a young backup to kind of groom, not to be his replacement per se, but just to develop? Because if you look behind Carr, you have DeShone Kizer, you had your Petermans, you have your Mike Glenn, you have guys who should not play ever again. They've reached their ceiling. And if you're honest, Carr has reached his ceiling. He's not going to get much better. He's not going to turn into the next reincarnation of Aaron Rodgers, even though physically he does match up pretty well with A-Rod. Where Gordon makes sense is that he has a ceiling that can be developed over time, maybe a year or two. And I think that Gruden could justify drafting him if they either keep Carr or trade Carr and sign, say, Ryan Tannehill or somebody like that who would be a couple years to be able to mentor and kind of get Gordon or whoever they draft as eventual replacement up to speed. Where Carr has to understand is this: if they draft a quarterback and they keep Carr needs to play the mentor role. I'm sorry, it has to happen. Where some big time quarterbacks don't, you see Aaron Rodgers who openly complained that Brett Favre wasn't the most cordial or kindest or nicest to him in his first few days and years in Green Bay. It's a brotherhood, being a quarterback. Yes, they're drafting a guy to eventually take your job. Nature of the business, football is cutthroat. It is trash as far as the loyalty thing. Teams are loyal to teams. Never to players, they're loyal to themselves. Any fan or team that says, well, you ain't showing any loyalty, you're lying. You're lying to not just yourself, but everybody who sees this. With that said, Derek Carr was a young player once. Anthony Gordon, somebody like him, you know, they're just trying to make their way into the league and see what's what. And I think it's incumbent on a veteran to help him out. I'm not saying you have to be his best friend, but say, hey, kid, this is what you do. This is what you don't do. This is what, and I think Carr will, because for everything that people say about Derek Carr as far as his sensitivity, his knuckleheaded siblings on social media, I think he's a decent person. Actually, I know he's a decent person. He seems like he has that affect of being a decent guy. He's not a jerk. So I think he would help out. With that said, there is a push for free agency that is heating up. Right after the combine, we're going to dive headlong into free agency. And I think that Las Vegas has a legitimate shot with all the money they have as far as making, not, they don't need to make a splash. They don't need to make a dent. They just need to improve. They need to literally sign and draft players that improve them. It's not about the big names. I don't care about big names. I care about names that can play. A name has never won a ball game. It just doesn't really work that way. I want guys that can actually get on the field and play. One of the spots that they're definitely looking towards, or should, linebacker, especially inside linebacker / middle linebacker. Vontaze Burfict is not coming back. He is just, he's done. The league hammered him for 12 games. If you thought that their focus on him was heavy then, imagine if he steps back on the field. If he sneezes, he's going for the year. They have done it. They've had it with Burfict. He's not going to return. As a result, you have not a stellar inside linebacker class as far as the free agency, but upgrades. That's all I care about, upgrades. Todd Davis may not be a household name, the former Bronco linebacker, but he's solid. That might be something that the Raiders might look one into. Like, considering how bad the Raiders inside linebackers were last year, and as far as anyone to patrol the middle, solid is an upgrade over terrible. You have Danny Trevathan. Trevathan makes sense because he did play well in Denver. He did play well in Chicago. It's more of with him being able to be the unquestioned leader of that defense. And he has enough speed. He has enough smarts where there's a play, and I think that I will tweet this out sometime either today or tomorrow, where they're playing, I want to say, Washington, and Trevathan fakes like he's going to drop back into coverage where first he fakes the blitz, and then he dips his outside shoulder away from the guard. The guard stands up, gets himself flat-footed. Trevathan sprints by him and gets the sack. It is one of the smartest linebacker plays you will see in a very long time. He literally gave him the old school okie doke. That type of smarts, that type of savvy is something that the Raiders linebackers need. People are clamoring for Rams linebacker Corey Littleton. Now, here's the thing. Are they going to keep him in LA /Carson/Englewood? Or are they going to let him walk and receive a fairly large contract? And how much should the Raiders pay? And I think the Raiders should pay enough to sign him, basically. Like, where they shouldn't break the bank, because no one thinks that Corey Littleton should command top three middle linebacker money. That's not really what they're there for. However, I know they should try to go a little bit above and beyond to try to make sure that they give him a fair offer and see if he can take it. Under the radar one, Darren Lee from the Chiefs, formerly of the Jets. Now, what I like about Lee is that he's like 26, which is the perfect age for that defense, and he's fast. I'm sorry, but speed is important in a defense. The Raiders linebackers have none. Nicholas Morrow is the only guy on that entire linebacker core that has any semblance of agility or burst, and his is passable, average, mediocre at best. Lee would provide them an upgrade as far as being able to float to the ball. He could stay with a tight end if he needed to. He could definitely patrol the run game. He could blitz. How do the Raiders go through an entire season without an impactful linebacker? Well, that's what happened last year. They went through the entire season without impactful linebacker. Burfict played four games. He had moments, but it's not like he was out there making splash plays in coverage. Coverage linebackers are something that the Raiders have lacked since, honestly, about a decade. It's been too long where people conflate or confuse the fact that if you have a linebacker in a short zone, that's coverage. Theoretically, yes, that is coverage. When we come back from the break, I'll explain why there's needed improvement in that area. You are listening to the FPC podcast on the FPC Radio Network. We are back with the FPC Raiders podcast. Host Terrence Biggs. We were talking about linebacker coverage. You need linebackers to cover a short zone, but you also need linebackers to be able to cover man-to-man. And you're in the division. Travis Kelce's a problem. Austin Eckler's a problem. Whoever the Chargers draft will be a problem. Phillip Lindsay's definitely a problem. Noah Fant, once he learns how to hold onto the ball, will be a problem. Linebackers need to cover. The days of the downhill thumper in a 4-3, especially in Paul Gunther's defense, are coming to a quick and dramatic end. I don't see the team staying static. So a guy like Corey Littleton would help. A guy like Darren Lee would definitely help. Somebody tweeted at me about Blake Martinez. I live in Green Bay, Wisconsin, so I can tell you this for a truest fact. Blake Martinez is a sure tackler. He is a phenomenal tackler. He makes a stop, secures the ball, secures the play, doesn't allow too much run after contact or yards after contact. He is a good linebacker. What he is not, and what the Raiders don't need him, is a coverage linebacker. He doesn't have the twitch or the turn and run to be able to stay with targets, and that is something that plagues this team. I look back at, I don't know, there's a name that stands in my mind. Crockett Gilmore was a journeyman tight end. He burnt the Raiders one day in Oakland, and I just can't. Tyler Eifert's another name. Rhett Ellison for the Vikings a couple of years ago. Just these no-name players who feast on the Raiders linebackers. That has to stop. If they want to be a good team, you need to invest some of that capital in quality linebackers. As far as outside linebackers, you have people mention that Sean Lee has a pretty decent relationship with Rob Marinelli. No, please don't even ponder that guy. As tough and as noble as Sean Lee has played throughout his career, he is injury prone. And he will get injured again and again and again. And you will throw good money after bad if you bring him to Las Vegas. With Sean Lee, I think his best days are behind him. The mind is willing, but the body is now unable. He can't stay healthy. And folks, you don't need a linebacker who will not be able to see the field. Somebody also mentioned AJ Klein, the former Saint, and before that, the Carolina Panther. Little more intriguing, not really a name that you would be able to sit there and marvel about. They can do better. Like, the Raiders are now at that point, and I'm hoping that some of the fan base will get to the point where you got to do better. You have to want better. Whenever somebody gets released, for the longest time, you'd see the nation get really up in arms and have to have that guy because he's free. The Raiders are no longer that thirsty franchise. They have a high profile coach. They're moving into a palatial stadium in one of the most exciting cities in the United States. They don't need to be desperate. The time for desperation is long over. I think they could be a little more prudent, which fans definitely need to be. but they need to make better linebacker decisions. And speaking of the defense, if you want to drift back into the cornerbacks, you have James Bradbury, you have Trey Waynes. They might command a fair amount of money, and you got to ask yourself, are they going to invest a chunk of change in the secondary again after honestly being burned by LaMarcus Joyner? And people, you know, want to sit here and say, well, he's better as a safety, which is fair, but I don't think that if you look at Paul Gunther, he wants a small safety. He misses the George Aloka types. He misses that bigger safety who can cover but can also come downhill and smack somebody in the mouth. That's not what Joyner's game is. He's more of a wide open, being able to use his speed. He didn't do well as far as a slot corner / slot defender. It's not his game. I think that they are tied to his contract, so they got to find some kind of role for him being next to Jonathan Abram. I look at a guy like Trey Waynes, and I'm intrigued by it. It's interesting to me because he does have the expertise in playing in a system similar to what the Raiders want to implement, being that Paul Gunther was a disciple of Mike Zimmer, who's the head coach in Minnesota. So there's a familiarity there, and I think that Waynes is an interesting pick, possible signing, but you have to see how much they're willing to spend on him. Now, I actually want to talk just a slight bit about Mark Davis. Mark Davis is pretty much meme worthy. He is Tommy Boy. He fell into the family business. He wasn't a football guy. He just happened to be born into the Davis family. However, he also has a little bit of, if you have watched the movie The Usual Suspects, he has a little bit of that Kaiser Soze. Yes, you take him for being incompetent. You take him for not being very bright, but then look at yourself. That man negotiated to have the state of Nevada throw money at him. A lot of money to build this stadium and to move this team out of Oakland. And this is not to diminish the Oakland part of the fan base, because they are the original ancestral home, and there's a lot of respect for those folks who went to those games year after year throughout losing seasons, throughout bad times. But Mark Davis is smarter than what people think. He was able to finesse cash. He was able to sit there and get his best deal, where he improved the overall worth of his team. Now, you may sit there and you may look at and ask yourself, did they do enough to stay in Oakland? Did they do enough to work hard in Oakland? They weren't getting that sweetheart deal in Oakland, and Davis knew that. That's why he originally tried to move to L.A. That's why, you know, he floated San Antonio as a realistic destination, but everyone and their mama knew that it wasn't going to happen that way. It was more of like, hey, they want to move. If you throw out random cities and you're willing to take home games away to go play in London or Mexico or wherever else and forfeit, you know, a home game, you are willing to get rid of what you need to get rid of to go play somewhere else and to get your stadium. I wasn't a fan of Mark Davis when his father passed on, because Al Davis is iconic, even though last few years of Al's tenure were honestly terrible. He cared. He wanted to win, and he had a passion for this game that you can look in his eyes, even when you kind of knew that he was starting to slow down and he was trying to see how the team would be his best fit for any sort of future production. He cared. Mark Davis stays behind the scenes. He just stays in the shadows. He just lives his best life quietly, and I like that kind of owner. I don't like the Jerry Jones, the Dan Snyder, the all in front of the cameras, all in front of ESPN dancing, but it's more of the fact that he put his team first, and I respect Mark Davis from that particular point. Now, there are a few things I'm not really keen on. The fact that, you know, the circumventing of the Rooney Rule be damned, because they do what other teams do. It doesn't make it right. But Mark Davis has placed the Raiders in a better spot than which he inherited them from, which is the best thing for the fan base. So with all of that, we want to thank you for joining us for another episode of FPC Raiders. Your host, Terrence Biggs. We will be back on Thursday. Take care of yourselves and take care of each other. Goodbye.